Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jaro, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jaro.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jaro.
All right, and we are back with episode number 39 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Big thanks to everybody who's listening so far to our podcasts over the years. Hopefully you're still enjoying them. We were kind of talking about that a little bit earlier. We're not really sure how many listeners we have, but we're happy to have even just the one, whoever that is. Thank you. But we know we do have more than one.
Yeah.
But anyway, hopefully, you know, we're entertaining you guys and you're finding something interesting. And here we'll start number 39.
Let's
Mike,
do it.
Mike, what's new? How have you been?
Really good. I love doing the podcast out on your back porch. So it's just like so nice back here.
Yeah, it cooled off once that sun went behind the trees. It was a little hot earlier, but now it's much nicer. So if you hear some background noise, Harley Davidsons and loud trucks and stuff, it's because we're outside.
Yeah, it's nice. Should we get going on our rundown
Let's
portion
do it.
Here? Okay, so first things first, we do have race results from the 2021 Last Runner Standing race. I did talk to a couple people about the race, and the one common theme was the heat.
Yeah, that was a hot day.
Unseasonably hot.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what was interesting, though, what people told me is that they were completely drained throughout the day, but then there was a certain point in the day, I don't know what lap or hour, but the winds shifted or something and the temperature plummeted.
Mm.
And either way, the finishing time is far less than previous years. However, that's kind of take that with a grain of salt because, of course, it doesn't show, kind of like the fitness of the top finisher.
Mm-hmm.
It takes two, right? Because if the last person drops out and there's just one, maybe they could go on for another 100 miles.
True.
But the race is over.
Yeah. If you're the last one standing, you don't have to continue on.
Yeah. But it does appear that, anyways, the entire field was affected by the heat. And so the last two standing, Mark Emmons won the race. He's done over 100 miles at Last Runner Standing in the past, if I'm not mistaken. I know he's from the Twin Cities and does a couple other regional long-distance races. So Mark ran 66.72 miles, so I can't do the math, but what would that be? I can do the math.
67.2 miles?
16 hours. I believe that's 16 hours.
Okay.
And then second place was Catherine Riegstad with 62.55 miles, so that must be 15 loops. So it looks like those two and Craig Mason were kind of duking it out. Craig was third place with 62.55. So Craig and Catherine dropped out, it looks like, after 15. Mark went on to do one more to win the race.
Nice. Congratulations to everyone who took part in that race. It was a hot day.
Yeah.
My training group was out that day, and we were over in Superior, and we were talking about the Last Runner Standing, how that was going on. I couldn't imagine trying to perform
brutal
in that heat. And it's been interesting with the heat this year. We've had a lot of hot weather running here in the last, week to maybe 2 weeks, which is unusual for this time of the year. I think in a way, though, especially for those training for grandmas, it's going to be a benefit just in case grandma's is hot as well.
Right.
But that being said, anytime that those first few hot runs of the year happen, they're hard. They take a lot out of you.
Yeah. It definitely takes getting used to, and gosh, I mean, it just saps you, you know?
It does, and recovery is a little bit longer. And
right.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. Our bodies just are not used to that, living this far north.
Right.
So, yeah, hopefully Grandma's is not that hot, but just in case it is, you know, I think everybody will be relatively well prepared,
acclimated,
at least compared to other years.
Right.
So.
That's a great segue to our upcoming races segment.
Upcoming races.
Which, of course, the Grandma's Marathon suite of races. Grandma's Weekend, Friday, June 18th, Saturday, June 19th is the big daddy. And so with the William A. Irvin 5K on Friday nights, and then the Gear Bjorklund Half Marathon and Grandma's Marathon, Saturday, June 19th.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. This is like Christmas weekend for local runners.
Yeah.
Mike, are you running any of the races?
I didn't get in.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too slow.
Yeah.
Too slow to sign up.
So what are your plans?
I'm going to volunteer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm on barricade crew.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of before and after.
The finish shoot?
I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, okay.
But I'll be doing barricades on Saturday afternoon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So that'll be fun. You'll be able
still be able
to watch the race too then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll be around. You?
I'll be watching the race. I have a lot of runners doing it. My wife is doing the marathon, so I'm gonna plop down in a location. Last time when they had the race, 2019, I tried to kind of move back and forth a little bit to see different people. That doesn't, I don't know. For me, it didn't work as well. You end up missing some people.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it this year to just kind of plop down in one spot and stay there the whole time.
Yeah. Where are you going to go?
I think probably around Glen Sheen is probably where I'm going to go. That's the plan.
That's the hardest part of the race, in my opinion.
Starting to get to, Lemon Drop Hill and it's late in the race, especially for the marathoners.
Even the hill isn't as bad as just right after Glen Sheen has always been the hardest part of the race for me.
You know, they talk about Lemon Drop Hill and everybody knows like the little overpass area there, just right before the Blackwoods or even at Blackwoods. But that hill begins farther back.
Huh.
It begins almost around 40th Avenue East,
okay,
where the avenue comes down from the high school.
Right, right.
That hill starts to incline a little bit right back in there. And so by the time you do get to Glen Sheen or even Lemon Drop Hill, you have actually been going uphill for quite some time.
Right, right.
You don't notice it at all when you're in a car.
Huh.
You definitely notice it that late in the race.
Right.
So I think sometimes people forget about that a little bit. And that's,
right.
I think that... Well, that and just the distance itself is what you're feeling.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's mental, I think. I think it's, you know, Lakeside is fairly windy.
Yeah.
And then you see this straightaway after Glen Sheen and just the looming hill.
That's true, too.
And it's almost just like this too straight of a road, and it's just like, okay.
Yeah, that is very true as well. And that section of London Road from when you get to the river all the way until you get to kind of more of the business district of London Road, if you will, the top of Lemon Drop Hill on down. That's a long road.
Yeah.
It's way longer than you think. And again, in a running situation, you're on that road much longer than you anticipate. You think, I'm in town now. I'll almost be to Superior Street. I'll almost be to the finish.
Yeah.
But you're on London Road for a long time.
Right, right. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait for Grandma's. I'm really looking forward to seeing Alan Webb run his first marathon. I think
cool.
That'll be cool. Hopefully he's still in the race when he gets to me. So I really, you know, I'm looking forward to cheering him on. That's a really cool thing that's going to happen.
Yeah. I think it's just a huge relief. I don't know for just me personally, but I think for the organizers and the city that COVID restrictions have eased so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there was a lot of speculation 6 months ago, you know, a year ago, right? Okay, if this race is canceled, how is 2021 going to look, you know?
Right.
And just kind of this blind faith that everything will be okay to hold the race. And I think it's a huge relief that it it's going to be a safe event, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, so many of the people that are going to be participating in this thing and the spectators are vaccinated.
Right.
We've got a really good plan with this, the kind of staggered start, or I guess I forget the name of what it's called, the wave start, I think.
Yeah.
That seems like a really nice plan as well. So I think it's going to feel pretty close to normal, especially for spectators. I think it's really going to feel very close to normal.
Right, right. That's good. Where are your top five spectating points for our listeners?
Gosh, I don't know.
I don't know, a couple.
Yeah, so I've been all over. A lot of times, you know, I was down by, here's a good spot, actually. It's not the most comfortable spot for the spectator, but it's really good for the runners.
Oh.
Is, you know, right when you finish London Road and you take that quick right on 12th Avenue East and then the quick left on Superior.
Yep. Yeah.
And that little hill on 12th Avenue East is just a bear and nobody likes that. Be right there at that corner.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good spot because you can cheer people on, and that's just a little block that they have to run up, that little hill.
Right.
But they almost forget about it somehow.
Uh-huh.
If you're really energetic and cheer them on, that is a good spot. You're just like in the middle of the road for the spectator purposes. It's not the most comfortable spot. Bring a lawn chair or something maybe.
Yeah.
And it can be really sunny there too. So maybe like an umbrella for some shade if you need to. But that, when I did that one year, people were like, "Oh, it was so great to have you there."
I was
dreading that hill. Which I'm curious why. I've always been curious why they don't just run all the way London Road around the curve to 10th Avenue and take the left on Superior instead of going up.
I wonder if it's like mileage or something. You wouldn't think that would make a difference.
No, you could just adjust the start line back or forward as needed.
I
really don't know the history of that, but anyway. Yeah.
We'll have to ask a historian on the race.
Right.
Where could we find one of those?
I don't know.
Yeah, awesome. Well, hopefully everyone listening can participate in some way, either if you're running or spectating is always fun, or I know there are ample volunteer opportunities as well.
Yeah, it should be a fun weekend. Right now the weather's looking good too.
Oh,
just peeking forward ahead a little bit. No real rain in the forecast. Maybe a warmer day, 77 for the high or something like that.
Nice.
Maybe low 50s to start in the morning, or maybe upper 50s by the time the race starts. That's not so bad.
Yeah.
Cloud cover will be the key, I think, in those temps.
Right.
So if it's cloudy, that'll help. If it's sunny, you're running in 65, 70, that gets to you a little bit, but it's not too bad.
Nothing like we've been experiencing lately, so that's good.
It should feel pretty decent.
What about a trails report, Tony? You were on some trails doing trail running today, right?
Yeah, I was on some trails today, a little bit of road and trail. I actually haven't been in Hartley as much lately, but the last time I was there, those were good. But I ran through Leicester a little bit today and some of the local trails across from Vermilion to Gene Duluth that cut across there. And yeah, they're all good. They're all pretty much bone dry, and they're not quite dusty, but they're all packed down real firm. And it was great. I just wore a road shoe. It was 100% fine.
Hmm.
So yeah, the trails were really good. Good to see a lot of people out there. Not a lot of runners, but I think people are tapering down for grammars and so that, and it's a Sunday. And so I think more people will maybe doing stuff on Saturday for their runs. But yeah, a lot of mountain bikers out, and it was a good day through Leicester for sure.
Yeah. Fun. What about downhill running? Do you want to talk about downhill running for a bit?
Downhill running, yeah. So, number one, I'm terrible at it. It's not my forte. I don't know a ton about it, you know, other than some of the things that I've heard, some of the people that I listen to with regards to how to, you know, coaching and training and how to do certain things. What they typically talk about with downhill running, for those who are interested, and you know, especially for some of the trail folks, the idea for them is to actually lean forward and really kind of utilize that gravity, which means your legs are going to have to be churning over very quickly, and it's going to require a little bit of athleticism to be able to do that. I don't know if everybody can do that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
For me, I lean back and I kind of have a little bit of a break to it.
Yeah.
And it is a little jarring sometimes on the knees.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing with downhill running, it's something that you can practice, just like uphill running or just like anything. And I think a great place to do that is Bagley on the Big Hill, coming down the big long section that faces like the UMD campus.
Yep, yep.
Because it's softer ground. It's got that wood chip, and it's a nice long curve. And it's not so steep where it's can be a little pounding, but it's steep enough that your legs really
practice.
Get moving.
Yeah.
So you can practice downhill repeats, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah, so to me, Bagley's a great spot for that. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah, just like anything, just practice. And
practice a little bit. But, yeah, I know that for a lot of folks, so, for instance, talking about Lester, running down Seven Bridges Road.
Yeah.
If anybody's experienced that, that's very jarring.
Oh, yeah.
I have to kind of go pretty slow going down that road. It's just, it's too much. Running, I can almost, well, I can't really run up it faster than down it, but it feels like it.
Sure.
You know, I feel like I put a firmer effort going uphill than I can in downhill. I tend to hold back going down that hill.
Yeah.
Because it's so pounding, it's so jarring on the body.
Right. Yeah. So you should be able to just let it rip.
That's the idea. Like I say, I'm not very good at it, and it's not something that I guess it's not something that I honestly practice all that much.
Yeah.
But that's what people say, that being a good downhill runner can be very beneficial. I don't know.
You got to make up time wherever you can, you know.
Well, exactly. That's a good point. Yeah. Especially if you're also a good uphill runner, really improve yourself on the hills.
Yeah.
You can pull away a little bit on the uphill, and you can. But if you're a bad downhill runner, they're just going to, you know, the person you pass is a good downhill runner, they're just going to catch you right back up again.
Right.
So if you are a good uphill, consider maybe working some downhill repeats and really extend your advantage.
Downhill repeats, that's not a workout you think of very often.
Yeah, I've never really done it. Although there's a hill circuit kind of workout that I will be doing a little bit this summer, which involves some drills and some uphill stuff, and Bagley will be the perfect place, but there are other places. The golf courses actually work well for this too, where it does involve basically downhill repeats. This is a Lydiard thing that he devised, that they had I believe the original circuit was a 2-mile circuit that Peter Snell and Barry McGee and Murray Hallberg and those guys would do, involving some bounding and some skips and drills and things like that up the hill, and then they would do some stride. They would kind of do like about a 200 meter stride across the top of this hill, and then a big bomb downhill. They did this on roads in the city streets of Auckland, New Zealand, and then some strides across the bottom of the hill. It's a big rectangle, basically, is what their route was.
Right.
And then back up the hill, and then continue on, just kind of round and round they went. So that was kind of that I know of, some of the original ideas of practicing downhill running was with Lydiard and his guys in the 60s.
Right.
Yeah. But the golf courses work really well for that because they've got those natural ups or downs depending on which direction you want to run the fairway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You can just take your pick.
Yep. And then you don't get beat up too because the fairways are nice and soft. So.
Right. Yeah. Next segment, I'm really excited about this one, the Root of the Week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm actually kind of frustrated now that we spoke about this, because I wanted to talk about my experiences running the Lake Walk.
Yes.
Because, you know, I go down there pretty frequently, and I've especially gone down more frequently because over the past, say, month, you know, since April, really since April, in the past couple months, every time I go down there, even if it's several times in a week, the construction on the Lake Walk right down in Canal Park has progressed every single time. I go Wednesday, okay, I see what's going on. I go Thursday, there's more done. I go Friday, there's more done. And so I was really excited initially to kind of maybe be one of the first people to run down the opened up section. And then you just told me that you ran on Friday and it was all done.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah. It was sorry, Mike.
It's okay.
It was funny. Our route of the week, it was the same thing. It was the Lake Walk. And and partially for me is because of that new section. Thursday I was riding on my bike a little bit down there and it wasn't done. And then I was going for a run from my house, and I decided to run down the Lake Walk to the canal. Not thinking that I'd be able to run on the new section. But when I got down there, the fencing that I was going around on the bike wasn't there anymore. So I was running on the new... And then I ran into Harry Cottrell, a former guest of ours on the podcast. We chatted for a while. It was, if you remember, that Friday was cold and windy
for a little while.
And that section that I was down there, it was blowing sideways hard. It was Duluth, for sure.
It was
kind of nice to run in as long as you had the tailwind. But standing there talking to Harry, we were getting kind of chilly, so we took off. But it was open, so you just missed it by, fewer than 24 hours.
Huh.
But it's nice.
Yeah.
That's going to be so nice when the trees fill in, the plants and the flowers and the grass and everything fills in.
This is very, very similar, I guess, setup as before, where there's the wooden plank boardwalk, there's the blacktop pavement, and then there's also the horse trail is going to remain, right? I assume.
Good question. I didn't look. I assume that horse trail probably is still there. There's portions, if I remember right, where the boardwalk and the paved part, the blacktop part of the trail, are not side by side.
Oh, interesting.
There's like a space, a little boulevard, in between of where that's where the grass and the plants and the trees will be.
Yeah.
And that, if I remember right, is right down by the canal, like in front of the hotels.
Yeah.
It's that section there where there's a little bit of separation between the boardwalk and the blacktop. I might be wrong about that, but there's definitely some new plantings in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice. I mean, that project was going on for, 2 years almost? I mean, it was a big project with the shoreline restoration or reinforcement, rather. And
that part looks cool, too.
That part looks,
with all those huge rocks, and they kind of filled in some of the section with some of the smaller rocks. So it's like creating an entirely new beach almost.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and from a runner's perspective, I think huge upgrade in that regard too, just because it seemed like the past couple of years it was every season, you know, there was a bad storm and it would just push up all these rocks onto the surface and you could practically not even run down there just because it was so strewn with rocks and everything.
It should be better now, and it'd be nice to show it off a little bit with the grandma's coming up this weekend, I think. For regulars who come up from out of town and they come up for grandma's every year, they're going to be pleasantly surprised to see this new development in Canal Park.
Looks really nice. So great route for people to check out, the newly completed lake walk in the Canal Park section. What else do we got? What I'm into, are you into anything, Tony?
It's a good question. I don't feel like I am. I'm getting anxious for grandma's. Just kind of been normal days going through here. Been doing a lot of gardening lately. We've got a house project going on in the front. I finished an inside house project not long ago. Finally finished our laundry room.
Nice.
So that was good. Other than that, it's been kind of situation normal.
Yeah.
How about you? What have you been into lately?
Well, I'm kind of into fastest known time, which I'm into all the time, but figured it would be a appropriate time to bring up the news in the fastest known time world.
It's been a while on the podcast since
So here are just some kind of fun tidbits that I was looking at on fastestknowntime.com. One was a route called North Country Trail Wisconsin Section. So Annie Weiss famously completed this in 2020. This was in October 2020, and a previous podcast guest Michael Coppy set an unsupported fastest known time about a month ago with 4 days, 14 hours and 31 minutes, and the trail is about 200 miles. So it's just the Wisconsin section of the North Country Trail. North Country Trail is over 4,500 miles from, I believe, Maine or out east to North Dakota. And so the Superior Hiking Trail is technically part of it, the Kekakabuk Trail and Border Route Trail. And then it from there, you know, it goes eastward, I guess, through Wisconsin. So this section, a little bit of action there. I also noticed a lot of new sections, especially in kind of the northern part of Duluth into the Boundary Waters. One cool one was the Grand Portage Trail. That fastest known time was set by one person, Matthew Matta, in December of 2020. His pictures have a lot of snow, but that I've never been on that trail. I've heard about it, yeah. But it looks pretty cool. Let's see, 8.4 miles.
Huh.
And there's a few other more, I guess, more obscure, smaller trails in the National Forest and Boundary Waters area that have had a bit of action. I won't go into any more detail than that, but fastestknowntime.com,
yeah.
There are a lot of pretty cool routes in the area, and I mean, anyone can submit their own, I guess, too. So
yeah.
Just fun to see, you know, some of that kind of action right here in our region, you know.
Super cool.
So that's what I'm into lately.
Nice.
Not doing them myself, but I like perusing every now and again.
You're into the gravel bike stuff right now, aren't you?
I'm doing a lot of gravel biking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the one race I have on my docket, actually.
Yeah.
Is a Day Across Minnesota, mm-hmm. 240-mile gravel bike race, which
when is that?
Too much. Early August.
Early August, okay. It's going to be hot, too.
It's going to be hot. It's in southern Minnesota.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So the hot weekend last weekend was really good training mm-hmm. for that because, it's going to be hot.
That gravel bike scene is a lot of fun. I kind of miss, I was into it for a little while, and I do kind of miss it. I miss seeing a lot of country. You can cover a lot of ground in a day.
Right.
The people are really cool. The races, I think, are a blast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I do kind of miss it a little bit. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun, you know, it's great cross training,
mm-hmm.
running for cycling and cycling for running as well. I mean, I think I made a big leap in my biking abilities when I concurrently made a big leap in my running abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I had one really good season and I made really big improvements running, and it translated almost directly to the bike, I thought.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't feel like you can do that reverse. Like, you can't just bike and be any better at running, like maybe a little bit.
I agree. I totally agree with that. That's my experience too. I felt like with the gravel biking, having been a runner, I had a pretty good background.
Yeah.
And I had a pretty good engine going in already. That I didn't start so far back in some of the races. I was like up there and performing relatively well.
Right.
Comparatively, and I think it was because of my running background, and I don't know if you quite get it the other way around, starting with a lot of biking and trying to run, but they're both beneficial, there's no doubt about that.
Right. Yeah, and they're both fun.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really good gravel biking
mm-hmm.
right from Duluth too.
I mean, just really anywhere, but certainly Duluth. You know, for me growing up in Iowa, gravel roads everywhere. I mean, that's all we are, is just a checkerboard of gravel roads in Iowa, so you can go miles and miles and miles and miles, you know, without interruption. One thing I noticed with a lot of the gravel roads up here is a lot of them stop. You know, 10 miles of one road would be a relatively long section of gravel road in this area of the country, or at least this area of the state.
Right.
If you go farther southern Minnesota or Iowa, like, you're talking about 400 miles of gravel road nonstop.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Just pick when you turn around.
Yeah. It's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the way the terrain is laid out.
Right. So, right from Duluth, if you want to stay on gravel roads, there are only a few, I think, key routes.
Right. There's only a couple of ways to get out of town.
Yeah. But you can definitely string together some good loops just right from the city, which is pretty neat.
Once you get out to like Fox Farm and Rossini, then you're out there, and that's a lot of fun.
Then
it's a different world out there, for sure. Yeah.
It's fun, especially when it's so hot for running. You know, biking is a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
And then you're breezing in your face and stuff. And I've been doing a fair amount of biking.
I would often take my helmet off, too.
Oh.
I mean, you're not supposed to these days or anything, but, you know, you're out there by yourself. There's nobody else out there.
Yeah.
But take your helmet off, and that kind of cools you down a little bit more, too.
Yeah.
I would do that a lot.
Yeah. Do you have some shout-outs here, Tony?
I do have one major shout-out to, all the people running Grandma's, the half, the 5K, the full marathon, but specifically to my wife running the full and all the athletes that I train who are mostly doing the half, but I've got a handful doing the full as well. So big shout out to all of you guys that are going to be doing it. I have one guy coming up from Omaha who's going to be, I'm really excited for his race, for the full, and, just, I can't wait to see everybody go by. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Shout out to all you folks running Grandma's.
We'll see you down at Grandma's.
Yeah, we'll see you then.